Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David. I hope you have a good weekend this weekend. We invite you always to come to any of the services at Fairfax First Baptist Church. I preach there at the 11 o'clock service, and also Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray. I preach there at the 9 o'clock service, and would love to have the opportunity to get to meet you. If you don't come to our church, I pray that you have a church near you that you do go to where you can hear the Bible taught as the Word of God and can grow and be encouraged in your faith. And I think we all need that, so I encourage you to go to church this Sunday wherever that might be. Well, this week we have been talking about morality. Let me kind of review what we've said so far and then connect this to the gospel, because the Bible has such a beautiful message. We all have this longing in our heart to be right with God. God has put that there. And the Bible says that we can know the answer to that longing in our heart. It says in Romans 4:25 that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And I have been introducing to you in kind of a roundabout way that this is the deepest desire of our heart, even if we haven't recognized that. So it all begins with this question, who's to say? All right, so is something wrong? Well, our culture increasingly wants to say, who's to say what is right and what is wrong? And so in an atheistic worldview, there is no one to say what is right and wrong, and therefore there are no absolutes when it comes to morality. Some people might think some things are wrong. Other people might have a different opinion. You might think that it is wrong to murder 6 million Jews because you don't like their race. Hitler might think that it's a good thing to do that. Who's to say who's right and wrong? All morality ultimately comes down to just tastes and preferences. There is no absolute morality because there is no one to say what is right and wrong. However, that's repulsive. We all know intuitively in our hearts that that cannot be right. Now, atheists might say that evolution has given us an illusion that there is a right and a wrong, but there's really no way to explain the mechanics of how natural selection, with no design, no purpose behind it, just trying to create living things that survive better than other living things, how would that result in us having such a strong sense that there are things that are right and things that are wrong? It just cannot account for it. So I think that the atheistic view of the universe, where all morals are opinions, is wrong. Atheists, I told you, will try to say no morals are absolute, and they'll try to give some basis of determining what is right and wrong apart from God, but they all fail. The best one I've heard is Sam Harris's argument that life thriving is good, life not thriving or hindering life from thriving is bad. But who's to say that life thriving is a good thing? So all of these attempts at coming up with morality without God fall flat. They fail. Now, I think that more people listening to this program are not atheists, but you might be in the category where you don't really think morals are absolute either. You've kind of fallen into this cultural thing that it's popular to say, well, who's to say what's right and what's wrong? It's my opinion, your opinion. You know in your heart that's not right, and you now know that what that indicates is that not only is there a God, which you probably already agreed with, but that God has given us laws and commands, and he's given in our own being, in our consciences, the ability to know that there is a God who has given laws. There's a God who's created us and owns us, therefore, because we are his creation. We are his people. And therefore, he is the judge over all the earth. He's given us laws and commands. And the bad news of the Bible is that we have fallen short. This is what the Bible means when it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that what may be known about God is plain to us because God has made it plain to us. And I think that the conscience, this understanding of right and wrong, is one of those things that make God's existence and our heading towards appearing before him, where he will judge us by his standard. We just inherently know that that is coming. And so we try to do good things, we try to change our life, we try to justify ourselves, we come up with excuses for our bad behavior, because we are, maybe even not consciously, but we are always preparing for that appointment we have where we stand before God. And the Bible says, you know what? We have fallen short of His standards. His standards are holy, right, true, just, and we are not. We are sinful creatures. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so in Romans chapter 3, we read this. In verse 19, it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God." One of the reasons we read the Bible and study God's law is so that we will see how far short we fall, that we will stop fooling ourselves and telling us it's okay, we're better than most people, we're trying hard, we've gotten a lot better. All of these are excuses trying to justify the fact that we will not meet God's holy, righteous standards, and we will be condemned by our Creator. And so the law silences us. It stops our mouth so that we are without excuse. Therefore, Romans 3:20 says, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." But now, Romans 3:21 says, I love that it says but now, because it says that that's not the end of the story. It's not, well, we're all condemned. We all are hopeless when it comes to meeting God's standards. End of the story. Just make the best of it, but we're doomed. No, there's but now. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. In other words, there's a way to be righteous apart from obeying all the commands of the law. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It's something we receive through faith. It's for those who believe. It's not for those who do, because none of us can do it. It's for us who believe. And so Romans 4 adds to this. It says that righteousness was credited to Abraham, and this was written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Here's the point. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God will give us the gift of righteousness. We will all stand before him on judgment day and have to give an account for everything we've done. And if we stand in front of him without faith in Christ, we will be condemned because we have all broken God's laws. But if we stand before him having faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in him to be our righteousness, then God has given us righteousness. God has given us freedom from condemnation. We are forgiven for our sins. He will look at us and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." There is nothing left for him to condemn because we are righteous in his sight. We have received a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Dear friends, I pray that you have done that today. I pray that even now, as you recognize that, yes, in my conscience, God has given me something internally that testifies that there is a God, there is a not just a God out there somewhere, but a God who has given laws, just laws, fair laws, good laws, laws I already know about. I know when someone does me wrong, I know it's wrong. I know if someone hits me for no reason, I know if someone steals from me for no reason, I know it's wrong. All those things point to a lawgiver and someone who will ultimately hold people to account for their actions. And I have failed to be the person that I'm supposed to be, to live according to those laws. I am guilty. And the only hope I have, if I'm being real and honest, is for God to do something for me. And God says he will. God would not send his son Jesus to die on the cross and then withhold grace. The whole purpose that he did that and sacrificed is so that he could give you grace, forgiveness, and right standing. If you want to know today that you are right with God, I want you to call 943-8237. That's 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.